deeper look in the book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of studies out of the book of Leviticus. So get close to your radios and listen now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Tonight we'll be studying out of the Old Testament again, Leviticus chapter 23. We'll be looking at the various feasts. Various feast of the Lord. Before we go into our lesson, let's go to the Lord and ask his blessings on our lesson and on our time this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege and opportunity to assemble ourselves together one more time. We do thank you for this privilege of being able to study your word. Lord, we pray now that you will give us receptive hearts and understanding hearts. And then, Lord, give us a motivated will so that we will not just be hearers of your word, but we can be doers of your word. Just bless our time together this evening. We'll be careful to praise you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll be studying tonight Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23 is a chapter that deals with the feast of the Lord. Now, the book of Leviticus is a book that deals with how God, a holy God, can have a relationship with sinful people. And the way that God, a holy God, has a relationship with sinful people is by way of sacrifices. So we've basically been looking at the various sacrificial system and all the various offerings that the children of Israel had to perform in order for them to get themselves clean, because a holy God cannot dwell in the midst of an unclean people. Is that right? In order for the holy God to dwell in around people, those people must clean themselves up. And so we've been looking at that today. This evening I want to look at Leviticus 23, which is the feast of the Lord. The feast of the Lord. God's people ought to be some cheerful people. They ought to be joyous people. And God put it right in the Jewish calendar, feast days. Now, have you noticed something about God as we've been looking at the book of Leviticus? There's not one area of your life that goes unregulated. Have you noticed that? God tells you how to worship him. He tells you when to worship him. He tells you what to bring to worship him. He tells you what to eat, where to sleep, what to wear, what not to wear. There is nothing that goes unregulated in your life. And even when it comes to holidays or holy days, God regulates that. Now, and that's what we're going to look at today. There were seven holidays or holy days that God chose for his people. Now, the first holiday, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to put up on the board a time chart, because this time chart is going to tell us not only about the feast of the Lord, it's going to really put together a timetable of history, what God is doing back then, as well as what God is doing now and what God will do in the future. So if we can understand the feast of the Lord, we can understand Bible prophecy. But if you don't understand the feast of the Lord, then you don't know what God is doing today and what God will do in the future. So these feasts of the Lord are very important for Israel then, for us today, as well as what's going to happen in the future. So this is, if you don't get nothing else out of the book of Leviticus, you need to get chapter 23 and understand it. The first feast was the feast of Passover. Feast of Passover. That's the first feast. The feast of Passover typifies Jesus Christ dying for his people. It was the first feast because the first thing that comes when a person come to know the Lord is what? Salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So we have the Passover, and you'll see that in verses 4 and 5. He says, these are the appointed times of the Lord. Did you catch that? These are the appointed times. In other words, God has appointments. You hear me say on Sunday when we be giving out the welcome, that is no accident or coincidence that you have showed up today, but it was by the providence of Almighty God. God has set an appointment for you, just like you make out your appointment to go to the doctor, to go to the dentist. Guess what? God done made out appointments for you. Some of you are married today to this person that you married, all because God made an appointment for you. If God hadn't made that appointment, y'all would have missed each other. Some of you are on jobs today, all because God made an appointment for you. Yeah, God made that appointment. You thought you made it. God made that appointment. You just happened to bump into that person at the right place at the right time. Have you ever went on a job interview? I have. I went on a job interview, and they told me that if you would have came yesterday, you could have had the job, but I just hired the last person yesterday. So what do that tells me? That job was really not for me. Because if it would have been for me, then God would have made an appointment. God would have made the appointment for me. And do you know something? Most of the time when God makes an appointment, you don't know nothing about it. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times you don't even know nothing about God's appointment. The Bible says there's an appointed time to live and there's an appointed time to die. Now, how many of you know your death date? You see what I'm talking about? But these are some appointed times that God lets us know about. And so the things that God lets us know about, we need to really study those things. Because God just not writing a book just to be writing a book. You know, some folks in them ain't got nothing to do. And so they just write a book. Some folks, them, they don't want to go out and work with their hands, so they just write a book. I'm gonna just try to write me a book, try to make money the easy way. But God is not just trying to write a book, just be writing a book. God is giving us information that we can understand the times. I'm reminded of a passage over in the book of Chronicles that said the sons of Issachar was more wiser than others, for they understood the times and they knew what to do. Do you know what time we are living in today? Depending on what time it is going to determine how you ought to be acting. Yes, yes, yes. All right, now let's look at the time. All right, so the first one was the Feast of Passover. The religious year opened with the Feast of Passover, okay? It opened with a feast that typifies what? Salvation. Typifies salvation. The first thing that comes in your life, what? Is salvation. All right. All right. Then we move to the Bible called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, verse number 6 through 8. It talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. feast of unleavened bread. Now, what do the feast of unleavened bread typify? It typifies what? Sanctification. The removal of sin. Now, guess what? In a lot of people's lives, what they have done, they start working him. God said, that ain't where you ought to work. See, there's a lot of people who have tried, I done quit drinking, I done quit smoking, I done quit chasing women, but you're still not saved. The only way that you will be acceptable in the eyesight of God is you start right here with that feast of Passover, because who is the Passover lamb? The Lord Jesus Christ. Did I give you that verse over in 1 Corinthians 5? I believe it will tell you about the Passover lamb. Let me just get that right quick. 1 Corinthians chapter. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. It says, clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrifice. All right. And matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 5 also is speaking of the unleavened bread. Did you notice it says in verse 7, clean out that old lump, old leaven, that you may be a new lump? Mm-hmm. It goes on further. It says, let us therefore celebrate the feast, verse 8, not with the old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Okay. So, God's people, once we get saved, once you get saved, then that's when you start getting what? Sanctified. The rest of your life, you work on your sanctification. Salvation is, you get that in an instant. But sanctification takes a lifetime. Isn't that true in your physical life? In your physical life, how many times did it take you to be born? Huh? Come on now, that's an easy one there. Just one time. You just got one birthday, right? All right. You just keep having them over and over every year. But you don't keep being born every year, do you? No. So you have one birthday, but from the rest of your life, what is involved? It's growing. It's growing, learning new things, understanding a better way of doing things. In the same way, in your Christian life, you were just born again just one time. And from that point on, it's all about cleaning yourself up. Amen? All right. Unleavened bread is the second feast. The third feast is the feast of first fruit. The feast of first fruits. The feast of first fruits with an S on it. Beginning with verse number 9 of Leviticus 23, 9 through 14. The feast was reserved for the land of Canaan. Notice what God says. Then the Lord spoke, verse 9, to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaves of the first fruit of the harvest to the priest. Now, this feast they couldn't celebrate out in the wilderness. Why? Did they plant gardens when they was out in the wilderness? What did they eat when they was out in the wilderness? They ate manna for 40 years, right? And when they got into the promised land, God told them to go ahead and plant gardens and what have you. He said, but just give me mine first. Okay? The feast of first fruit. The feast of first fruit. When you saw the grain came out of the ground, just the early fruit, God said, give me that and bring that to the temple. And what the Feast of First Fruits signifies is that God owned the whole harvest. Yeah. Do you see how this typifies tithe? You give God what comes first, showing him that he is the owner of the harvest. But at the same time, you giving to him, you got to have faith that there's more to come. If you go out there and you see collard greens start growing up, and you go out there and pick your collard greens, and you give them collard greens to the master, you got to have faith that some more collard greens going to come back up. You see? So this is the picture of first fruit. Now, first fruit came, when did it come? It came the first day after Passover. Passover was celebrated on a Sabbath. A Sabbath was what? What day of the week? A Saturday. First fruit came on what day? Sunday. Now, first fruit typifies the resurrection of believers. It typifies the resurrection, number one, of Jesus Christ. But notice, it didn't say first fruit. It said fruits. If Jesus is having a resurrection, who else gonna have one? The believers. Come on, let's take a look at that. First Corinthians chapter 15. Are you with me, by the way? Amen. Now we're getting to some pictures here. I don't want you to miss these pictures. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. 15, 20. 15 and 20. Who got it? All right, somebody stand and read it. 15, 20, 23. Brother Booker, read it slow.
But now
Christ
has been raised from the dead.
The first fruit of those who sleep. You see, Christ, who was dead, just like a piece of kernel. Okay, just like when you get ready to have some corn, you go plant a seed. That seed got to do what? Die. Then what's going to happen? Then it's going to grow. That one seed is going to be multiplied, though, isn't it? You may have planted one seed, but you're going to get, a bump of crop. You see, you're going to get a big old stalk of corn. You're not just going to get one little kernel of corn come back. Christ went down into the ground, but he's not going to be the only one. He came out, but he's not going to be the only one come out. He was the first one. Now, what do first imply? Come on now. Don't make it hard. The Bible is simple, but we make it hard. Okay, it's the beginning. Come on, y'all. What else? If I say more to follow, I want to be first. Well, what is they saying? Yeah. Miss Teacher, I supposed to have been first. What is that person saying? See, that's the assumption that there must be somebody else there too. So if Christ is first, that must mean there's going to be a second, there's going to be a third, there's going to be a fourth. You see what I'm saying? All right, don't miss that. Don't miss that. All right, go right on.
For since by a man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead.
For since by, notice, a man came death. By a man also came the resurrection of the dead. Isn't that something? All he needed was one. Go right on.
For as in Adam all died, so
All right. All right. All right. All right. Read on. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all may be made alive. Verse 23.
Okay, but each in his own order.
Each in his own order. Notice, there's order with God.
Christ the first fruit.
Christ is the first fruit.
After that, those who are Christ at his coming.
Oh, do you see that? Who going to be next in line? Christ. Who's coming after Christ in the resurrection?
The believers, all that are Christ.
The church. Amen. See, there's going to be different resurrections. There's going to be Christ that had his resurrection. Then there's going to be the church. And then there's going to be the tribulation saints. Then there's going to be the Old Testament saints. Do you see the order? Christ, the church, the tribulation saints, and Old Testament saints. Isn't that something? Everybody in their order. Get in line. Oh, we're going to have to teach that one day. We're going to have to teach that one day. That's good. That's good. I got a sermon called Seven Ups. Seven Ups. We're going to talk about the seven raptures in the Bible. Oh, I can't wait. We got to move on, though. We got to move on. My wife said I'm like a thawed-out refrigerator. I can't hold nothing, so let me move on. I'm going to try to hold it. All right, let's move on to the Feast of Pentecost. There's another feast. There's a feast called Pentecost. All right. The Feast of Pentecost. That was the next one. Boy, I got to try to figure out how to write smaller so we can get all of this up here. May have to start abbreviating. The Feast of Pentecost. Notice we got Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit, and then Pentecost. Okay? All right. Pentecost. When did Pentecost come? All right, 50 days. After what? All right. You had seven consecutive Sabbaths. So you had on the 50th day of the seventh Sabbath, then there was Pentecost. Now, what it this represented, what? First fruit. Think of it in agriculture terms. You went out there, let's say this is March. First fruit took place April or March. You went out there, you saw, oh, got some little greens coming up. You got them greens, and you took the greens there to the temple. They blessed them and what have you. But guess what? 50 days later, guess what happened? Boy, you got a mess of greens out there. Your harvest is there. You see? You got a big harvest. All right, now, in the Bible, what happened? Christ died, right? Christ died. They had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Christ's resurrection, okay? 50 days later, he walked around according to Acts chapter 1. How many days? 40 days. And he told them to tarry there in Jerusalem until they be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? And they had to stay.
Sent down the Lord.
If you would like a copy of the Bible study that you have just heard in its entirety, please contact the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or you can visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. Again, that is BibleWayIrving.org. And come out and visit us on a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock where you can hear Dr. Wilbur go in depth into his Bible studies. Again, that is at 7 o'clock at 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas. And always remember, bring a paper and a pen because we are going to take a deeper look in the book.